Hey there, this is time for a Global Prayer Storm podcast. I trust that you have listened to or watched the off-the-cuff podcast that I did that was connected about or before there was the B-2 bombers that went in to Iran. What's really interesting to me is that those bombers, stealth bombers, were stationed in Whiteman Air Force Base, Missouri, in Knob Noster, close to Warrensburg, Missouri. I pastored there for years. One time when we, Michael Ann and I, led a Israel prayer tour, a man who got special clearance had to get the highest level clearance that was possible to go with us to Israel with us as the team leaders. He was the man who was the trainer of the pilots of these stealth bombers. And so for years, we had a picture of those stealth bombers that he gave to Michael Ann. And he and his wife actually attended our church for a period of time. So we had a lot invested because the trainer of the pilots was a friend of ours. And so praying into this, it was very natural and very supernatural. This is how the Lord works. He works very relationally. He works very naturally, and he works very supernaturally and very spiritually. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this global prayer storm time where we get to bring some elements, some principles, some scriptures, and some prayer burdens together for such a time as this. And we are grateful that we get to be watchmen on the walls, watching to see what the Lord is doing. And according to Isaiah 62, watching to see and to remind the Lord of his appointments. To remind the Lord of the appointments and to give him no rest and to give ourselves no rest until Jerusalem is established as a praise in the earth. So we bring this time to you and we are thankful, we are grateful, and we ask, lead Holy Spirit. In Jesus' great and mighty name, amen. If you are not aware, we host in our global prayer storm every Wednesday at noon Central Time, a global prayer storm for revival in the church from noon to 1 p.m. on, and it's live, on God Encounters Facebook page and on James Gall YouTube. And if you're not able to participate live, then you can watch it, watch and pray at any time, any place in the world. It's wonderful. And we have about half of the people that participate are people all over the world. We have people from Canada. We have people from Argentina at times and Brazil. We will have a lot of people from Australia. We have people from England and Scotland. People from Germany. We have a gentleman that's a part of our global prayer storm team from Dusseldorf, Germany. From Iceland. From a lot of influence in South Africa. We'll have people from Kenya. I start naming nations, and I will skip some. You'll forget some. Malaysia. Isn't that awesome? The power of media connecting us in heart, connecting us in purpose, connecting us as watchmen on the walls, connecting us for such a time as this. Some, at times, in Russia. Some in Albania. Yeah, awesome. In many different states of the United States. In many nations that I have ministered in, which is at least 60 different nations, in Czech Republic, in France. I don't remember where all. I know I'm leaving out maybe even continents right now, but the Lord's not. So anyway, I just want to welcome you, because this podcast gets posted on YouTube, and there'll be people who will watch on YouTube, but they don't receive necessarily then the e-blast that goes out to 75,000. And we have an overlapping audience and a growing audience. So I just want to welcome you, and whatever medium, whatever channel that you are receiving this podcast, whether again it's on YouTube, whether it's then in our God Encounters, multiple tools that we release and use, because then on Tuesday, we post this on YouTube, and at times on Rumble. We're trying to increase a presence there. And then on Thursday, we will take this, we'll make a short article out of the presentation, a very short article, but nonetheless, a teaching format, and then have a link to this podcast. It's really a Zoom format, because it's, anyway, so, and then, and it's also goes to iTunes and this and that, all kinds of tools, places. So wherever you're watching from, listening from, welcome, and you can join in on some other different platforms that you might want to, because you will get exposed to some additional tools of equipping. Okay, there we go. Now, once a month, I release a targeted tool for Global Prayer Storm, and this is that. This will be leading up to now a target that we started last year, and we are gradually going to be growing this into a day to pray for the prophets. One day out of the year, every year. Day to pray for the prophets. The Lord directed out of some friendship, and the Lord gave that as a target for us to carry. A theme verse that he has given to us for day to pray for the prophets comes from Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Amos chapter 3, verse 7, where it reads, surely the Lord God does nothing. Stop. Now that is what a lot of people, how they read this. The Lord God does nothing nowadays. The canon of the scripture is closed, and when that happened, all the supernatural activity ceased. Cessationism. But we don't believe that because that's not the close of this verse. The Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. A lion has roared, verse 8. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Do you realize what the name of the warfare from Israel into Iran has been named by Prime Minister Netanyahu right now? Operation Lion Roar. And what does verse 8 say? A lion has roared. Who will not fear? We need the restoration of the fear of the Lord. And in part, that is a purpose of the prophetic. The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? And so we are to call forth for the fullness of the sevenfold Spirit of God, Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, and the seventh Spirit that is mentioned in Isaiah 11, verse 2, is the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And as that comes into its fullness, it says, and who can but prophesy? Yes. Maybe that's what I should be calling this podcast. Who can but prophesy? But what I have felt directed to title this Global Prayer Storm podcast, weaving it to be built upon the Prophetic Encounters podcast, is why pray for the prophets? Let's go back to the beginning of Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. And that's in the plural, prophets. Now, could we take the negative definition? Because this is often when, as the Lord speaks, he brings the negative definition first before the positive definition is released. And that's what happens here. The Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. But we can flip this into a positive definition. The Lord God does a lot when he speaks to his servants, the prophets. There's a reason why to pray for his servants, the prophets. You know, you can tell the difference between a mature commissioned prophet and a wannabe prophet. Because one is sent and one just went. One is more about building their own empire, and one is walking in humility, and it's about the fame of not their name It's about the fame of his name. The Lord God does nothing until he speaks. That's a heavy statement. And you could say, well, that's only an Old Testament principle. And the fullness is completed at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is absolute truth there. Because the seventh statement of Jesus on the cross is, it is finished. So, a mature prophet should be pointing to the finished, ultimately, to the completed work of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, not to themselves, and not to their gift. It's his gift. Now watch this. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he speaks to his gifted ones. It's not what it says. Unless he speaks to his servants. This is like Samuel. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So a mature commissioned, and there's training processes constantly. I've been prophesying for 52 years. I still make mistakes. The Lord God does nothing unless he speaks to his servants. His servants. Why pray for the prophets? That they would be servants. But let me say that even more than servants, prophets and all believers are called to be friends. That is my ultimate aim and goal in this life. And in the faith, is to be a friend of God. And then whatever gift call it would be to fulfill that destiny. But my call, is to be a friend of God. That is because it's relational first. And to obey. Because I am still a servant. I will always be a servant of the Lord God Most High. Always. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And so the word obedience is to array yourself under in order to hear. And the reason why people can't hear is because they have no intention to obey. And thus they can't hear because they have not submitted themselves in such a manner that they can hear. Because that is what submission and actually obedience means, is to array yourself in such a position in order to hear. Not as an equal, not that God is going to speak or your boss or whoever is going to speak at you. No, you're to be a servant. But why pray for the prophets? Pray that they'll get over themselves. And this isn't just for the prophets. This is for pastors. This is for teachers. This is for anyone in authority. This is for all believers, by the way. What are you doing? I'm giving us some reasons why to pray for the prophets. Pray that they'll be friends of God. Pray that they'll be servants. Because they have an amazing, wonderful task to hear God. A definition of a prophet is to speak in behalf of a superior, to be a mouthpiece, to speak in behalf of a superior. Okay, why pray for the prophets? So the Lord has given us a task, a goal. Just like there is a Sunday in the church calendar to pray for pastors. We don't want to do anything that is in competition with the local church in praying for pastors. And so I know that this is a long-range goal that I'm speaking about, to pray for prophets, because most of the church still doesn't believe that there are prophets today, still. But there is a growing number that believe in, let's say, prophetic ministry. So let's pray into the level of where we are. But I'm not going to let go of the larger vision. So, scripture number one. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he prays, unless he speaks to his servants, the prophets. So we're going to pray for the prophets that they're going to hear God in our behalf. And that they're going to be friends of God, and they're going to be sent ones, and we're going to pray for their good welfare. So this is whether it is on a local church basis, a citywide basis, a regional basis, and there are national level recognized prophets and have been for some time, and international level. Okay? Now, let's consider another scripture. I just have three main scriptures I'm wanting to give us. Let's look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah 27. I gotta find this. There we go. Okay, got it. Jeremiah 27, verse 18. Amazing scripture. But if they were prophets, and if the word of the Lord is with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord. To the Lord of hosts. That if they are prophets, and if the word of the Lord is with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts in the house of the king of Judah and at Jerusalem, etc. Okay, so the principle is here. Is that prophets have a distinct, one of their primary tasks is that they are to be intercessors. They are. Now, I know some highly gifted prophetic seers, and they are not intercessors, but they are very highly gifted prophetic seers. But this says, but if they are prophets, and if the word of the Lord is with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts. So why then pray for the prophets if one of the primary jobs of the prophets is that they're supposed to stand in the gap and they're supposed to pray for us? That distractions will not get in their way. I have too many distractions. That distractions not get in the way. That spiritual warfare not come intensely against them. Daniel's a really good example. The life of Daniel, the prophet. Because they have an assignment that they, if they are prophets, and if the word of the Lord is with them, let them now make intercession. You know what? One of my, I think you, if you know me, you know, at least I say that one of my primary tasks is to stand in the gap and to seek the Lord. And to stand in the gap that the righteous judgments that could be due are held back. And that the penalty that could be appropriate for the sins of the people are held back. Because if there is one that is found, you know, I've written many books on prayer, many books on the prophetic, and then I uniquely have written, along with others, Barbara Wynn Throbble and Rick Ridings and Sidney Jacobs and so many others now, on the blending of these two dimensions of the prophet and the priest on now prophetic intercession. If there are prophets among us, let them make intercession for us. But you know what? That's... See, oh, I just bit my tongue. Sometimes we need to bite our tongue and not say all that we know. A fool opens wide his mouth, Proverbs says, and says all he knows. But you know where you need to say all that you know? In the courtroom of heaven. Jeremiah 27, my second primary scripture, Jeremiah 27, 18. But if there are prophets, and if the word of the Lord is with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord. You know, I have seen a lot of these Middle Eastern, I've seen wars and skirmishes and rumors of wars, and I've seen a lot of these things in dreams. I saw the invasion of Crimea before it ever happened. I saw Mother Bear wanting her cubs back and taking swipes to bring them back into her fold. One of the things that's the most dangerous is when a regime falls. And many of these countries are old and ancient and have long history. And they don't act like the Western civilizations do. We act and think short. They don't. They have long-term memories. And they can be more patient and wait and then act later. I could talk a long time on these issues. But my second scripture is showing what a mature prophet does. They will hold revelation and take it before the throne of God. And they don't always say all they know, but they will pray all they know. And then in private settings say what they know. That's hard. There's a tension that's there. Because now what we need to do, because there is a growing, mature, intercessory body that knows how to hold secrets, is that you do tell what the Lord has been sharing, if you are led to, and teach how to hold the secret and how to handle a secret. I teach on some of this in How to Prophesy to a King in the 11th chapter of one of my books. I think it's in dream language, actually. And so... we need see that prophets know how to pray, but then that teach others how to do what they do. A true office gift, Ephesians 4, see, you have a ministry of the prophetic, you have the ministry of the of evangelism, but you can have an office of a prophet if you are equipping others to do what you do. And if you are a prophet who prays, then you are going to teach others how to do what you do. And I trust that I have been doing that for the last 20 years or more. Now, let's move on. See? So why pray for the prophets? Because office prophets are walking in the ways of God, not only in the gifting of God, but they walk in the ways of God. So we need to pray for the prophets, that they won't be distracted about building a hedge of protection around them. We need to pray for their families, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Why pray for the prophets? Because the Lord God will speak to them. And when they succeed, we will succeed. Let me just give you one more thing. The scripture, and there's so much that I could get into in all of this. Okay. How about a New Testament principle? How about in, you know, Ephesians? And I have written about this, talked about this. How about in Ephesians chapter 6? And I have written the Triumph book, Your Comprehensive Guide to Spiritual Warfare, you know, about all of this. And so Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 to 19, and I'm going to start at the end in verse 19. Okay, let's get here. Didn't think I had anything to say. Okay. Ephesians 6. And I'm going to start in verse 19 because there's one word, three words in here. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. This is picking up in mid-sentence in verse 19. And he's saying, and pray for me. So this is an apostle, could be a reason to pray for an apostle. But let's just insert and say, this is a reason to pray for a prophet. And pray for me. Paul the apostle, a teacher, and a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ, is just flat out giving us a reason to pray for those in the fivefold ministry. And he's just flat out saying, and pray for me. And pray for me. So let's go up to verse 18. And praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I would love to break this all down. But let's go up then to verse 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, verse 14, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparations of the gospel of peace, above all, taking up the shield of faith. So we talk about this on an individual basis, but Paul ends up bringing an application for others to do this for him. So pray for me. So it is about personal responsibility, and then he brings an application, and he's saying, now do this for me. Above all, taking up the shield of faith. Why? With which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, of the evil one, and take up the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer. And pray for me. So we know that this is not that round shield. This is the shield that is a door. Those things are heavy and they're big. And I'm just going to do a, add something in. I'm going to be careful with it. Sometimes we need some help, don't we? If Paul can say, and pray for me, how about sometimes we do get tired? And sometimes we need some help. We all need some help in holding up our shield. So help me. Help me keep that shield up to be able to withstand in the evil day, to be able to be victorious in the midst of the warfare that a prophet goes through. To be able to put out the fiery darts of the evil one that a forerunner goes through. And that's part of the job of a prophet. They go before to break open the way that the King of Glory can pass before. But you got to be walking with the others. And you need others to be holding up your weary arms. Moses. His two prophetic friends on the mount with him, and Joshua and Caleb out in the field, the joining of the generations. We need each other. I need help. For the enemies? Yes. That's why we have some things called prayer shields. Oh, prayer shields. Oh, but I thought prophets didn't need any help. I thought that they had the job of, that prophets have the job of interceding for us. They do. But that is all the more reason why we should be praying for the prophets. And it's one of the reasons, because we at times don't do that, why prophets fail. And I've talked a lot about that in my newest book, Standing Strong in the Anointing, Discerning the Traps, and Embracing the Blessings of the Supernatural Encounters. We need each other, and we need to be praying for these prophets that we have prayed for the Lord of the harvest to release. It's not good enough to just to call them forth and to call forth apostles. We need to be in prayer for them and to be in prayer for these laborers. We do. So let me give you a few little thoughts. Why pray for the prophets? Our theme that we are carrying is Amos 3:7. Why do this? Because of Jeremiah 27:18 and because of Ephesians 6 verses 13 to 19. Pray for me because of the warfare that they go through, because of the extra sensitivity that they are born with, and because of the extra sensitivity that their calling requires. So let's put up a shield. Because of the enemy's plot to take them under after the breakthrough, because we need not only highly gifted people, we need the word of the Lord with purity. Because according to Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. So let's flip that. Where there is a strong vision, the people are successful. They are victorious. Proverbs 29:18. Because we long for and desire, and the Lord wants it more than us, for an Acts 13 Antioch model of the Word and the Spirit, where prophets and teachers come together, and that is the greatest, one of the greatest wounds of authentic apostolic movements. That's where apostolic movements are birthed, where prophets, the realm of the Spirit, and teachers, the realm of the Word, come together. And that is the womb for the authentic apostolic movements. That's where they are birthed, and modern missionary movements. It's because prophets are breakers in the spirit realm, according to Micah 2:13. They are breakers who go before in regions and areas, and they break through regions of darkness or just even virgin areas into territory that's new. And they break it open for the presence of God. And it's wonderful. Why pray for the prophets? And so, out of the basis of an Amos 3:7, we are don't want to be in competition on a Sunday. We are calling forth for the third Friday of July. And then we're flipping that. The third Friday, the seventh month, according to the civil calendar, is July. And the third, the seventh month in the civil calendar is July. And then the third Friday, then this year, will be July 18th. And we're just going to build this slow, and we invite prayer movements, local churches to adopt this, run their own, and we have a 10-day short prayer guide to start out 10 days before, with different prayer emphasis, to pray for their family, to pray for their finances, to pray for their health, things of this nature, very practical. And then we will be hosting online on James Gall YouTube and on God Encounters, then Facebook, then on Friday, July 18th from 7 to 9 p.m., and that shifts according to different time zones, then a two-hour prayer meeting with different themes and different prayer leaders from different prayer movements and different strategies. And it'll only be for 2 hours, and we will grow this. Last year was a year and a half, and this year will be 2 hours, and we're going to grow this over a period of time. And we trust that it perhaps will get adopted into different international prayer movements, into local churches. And then we trust that we'll be able to grow out this 10-day prayer guide, and it will be more mature and greater helps. And I'm not going to compare this to what other people have, but I do know that things don't despise the day of a small beginning. And I think that this is a goal, as I have rehearsed this over with a few of my apostolic advisors, that this is something that could become a lifetime goal that I see is a seed and that will grow into a full-grown tree bearing much fruit. So, be watching. You can sign up at godencounters.com. We have a special eblast that is just for this, for God Encounters prayer storm. And obviously, this is a podcast that is for my entire email list, and I want you to participate. And so I bless you, and I want you to be an effective watch person on the wall for such a time as this. And I just say that no matter what your background, no matter how long you have been at this, and I have been at this for years, that God will give you a new station on the wall, perhaps. And you might get dreams and visions. And I'm going to pray into that right now. I pray that the Lord is going to awaken you in the night and you are going to get fresh burdens from the Lord. And you are going to get insight into some things that you've not gotten insight into previously. And I say, and where you have put some dreams and burdens on the shelf, God's going to breathe upon those in a fresh way. And it's going to be a rhema. It is going to be something as though it is new, because it is. It's going to be new. And I encourage you to join us in the global prayer storm in a day to pray for the prophets, that there will be no premature death, that there is going to be no sin in our camp, and that God is going to give unadulterated, pure revelation. Of course, he gives only pure revelation, and that we are going to grow in wisdom and grow in full maturity, grow in gifting, and grow in accuracy. And I declare that prophets with apostles and pastors and teachers and evangelists are going to excel and not go backwards, for Jesus Christ's sake and for effectiveness. Amen. And so get these books, get Standing in the Anointing, which might be my 50th book in my 50th year. And then we will be accenting this book, The Prophet, Creating and Sustaining a Life-Giving Prophetic Culture. Amen, amen. This is James Galt with God Encounters Ministries, and be watching for some great things that we're going to be doing for the kingdom of God and for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.